angel hovered over the vast assembly that had come for this great event. And though the expectation was incredibly high, it was totally silent as each and every one waited for the Father to command the most special angel to go on the most sacred duty. And as he hovered there, he waited and he watched. It was incredible. The choir was there soon to follow, and the orchestra was set up, and all the angels were there, and they were all looking at the Father, trying to figure out how the God of heaven could concoct such an incredible gift. And with a wave of his hand, away the angel went on a very sacred mission to join those on earth who were surely celebrating the approach of this great event. And he just tried to imagine what it was like in Jerusalem. And he tried to imagine what it was like, especially at the temple, thinking how excited these people must be. And the closer the angel came, the more he began to notice something that was very strange and unusual. For it seemed like nothing was different. He thought, wait a minute, I cannot be observing this correctly. There must be something wrong. He came up short and he looked as he hovered over the city. And sure enough, the people were going about their business as usual. And he thought, no, this can't be. Surely somewhere they're celebrating. Somewhere they're excited for this great event. The most great event that ever occurred in the universe is going to take place. And he thought, I know, I'll go to the temple. Surely at the temple, that's where they all must be. And he arrived there and found the same thing. And the angel was shocked. How in the world could these people be so indifferent? How could they act as if nothing was going to happen? What in the world is the matter with them? Not only that, I have to go back and tell the Father that His people are not even celebrating. They're not even waiting or looking for this great event. How can I possibly do that? Surely somewhere there must be something. And then he thought, I know, I'll go to Bethlehem. Surely that must be where they're at. They're at Bethlehem, that little city tucked there amongst the hills where the shepherds are. I will go straight there. And he winged his way quickly with great expectancy now, his heart uplifted somewhat, thinking maybe this would alleviate the feelings of depression and what he found in the center of God's holy people. But when he arrived at Bethlehem, it was the same. The angel was speechless. He could not understand what he was observing and experiencing. He tried to figure out how could he go back now and tell them. Not to mention he's going to run into the choir, which is on its way already. And not to mention how... what's the matter with these people? And my friends, just as he turned to go, out of the corner of his eye, he caught a little glimpse of light. For there on the hillside were some dirty, smelly shepherds that were praying about the coming of the Messiah. And with now joy in his heart, he winged right to the very point to which they were, and he hovered above them in such bright light that they all fell down in fear. And now he acted as if he did not observe anything else that was negative. For here were at least somebody looking for the Messiah. And just then, the angels came. And they were so ecstatic that someone was looking. Someone was waiting. And the angel said, "Do not fear. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all the people. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy for all the people. And with that, the angel choir and the lead angel began to wing their way back to heaven. At this time, I invite you to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to Luke, the second chapter. And let's look at the continuation of this story. And the question that I want answered today is, what is wrong with this picture? Matthew, the second chapter. Did I say Luke? Uh-huh. I only knew that because I turned to Luke. That is not correct. Now, folks, I'm going to read this to you, and I'm going to stop, and I want you to think. And then I'm going to read it again. And I want this question to be prominent in your mind. What is wrong with this picture? Are you ready? Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and have come to worship him." And when Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all of the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ must be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the rulers of Jerusalem. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" And then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go, search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also." What is wrong with this picture? Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." And when Herod the king heard these words, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. I want you to know that in the Greek, that word troubled is terazo. It's a verb. It means to stir, to agitate, royal water, trouble. I want you to know I checked 16 different translations. 14 of them translate terazo as troubled. One disturbed, one frightened, one agitated, and one stirred. Now this word terazo is found 17 times in the Bible, and in every place it's called troubled. Let not your heart be terazo. You believe in God, believe also in me. What is wrong with this picture? Because what really blew my mind, folks, I expect Herod to be troubled, don't you? But what is the next phrase in that verse that I found exactly this way in all 16 translations? "And all of Jerusalem with him." What's wrong with this? Let's look at the advantages that the Israelites had over this situation. First of all, they had the priests and the teachers. Am I right? Secondly, they had the law. Am I right? Thirdly, they had the temple. Am I right? Fourthly, they had what? Who's Zacharias? The son, the father of John the Baptist, who miraculously was born, and everybody in Jerusalem knew because he was serving in the temple when he had it. And don't for a second think those Seventh-day Adventists back then were any quieter than they are now. Telephone, telegraph, tell an Adventist. And finally and mostly, folks, those people had what? Prophecy. What's wrong with this picture? Nobody was looking for the Messiah. Now, Pastor, how can you make such a startling statement? Wait, it only says they were troubled. Oh, yeah? It says Herod called who? He called the wise men, or the scribes and Pharisees, and says, hey, where's the Messiah supposed to be born? They went in Bethlehem, and I'm sitting here thinking, okay, why aren't you guys over there looking for him? Right? In fact, what happened between the shepherds and them? In fact, I forgot to put the shepherds down there. Number six, folks, shepherds. You don't think that got around? I mean, others saw the brightness of the light on the hillside and wondered what happened. Did a meteor the size of New York hit the hillsides where the shepherds are? There's something really wrong here. If you read it carefully, in Matthew 2, no one was looking for the Messiah. And then Herod secretly, get this, look at the competition here, secretly calls the wise men and says, hey, when you find him, tell me, and I'll come and worship him. Brothers and sisters, I don't want to be like this. Let me tell you why I'm so concerned for me. Because guess what? Jesus is coming soon, the second time, and we are the ones that are supposed to be alerting everybody to that fact. And guess what about us? By the way, this is another series later, this first coming of the year. We're John the Baptist, folks. We are John the Baptist. Nobody else is John the Baptist. We are John the Baptist. And we have prophecy, my friends. We have prophecy. And we should understand better than anybody what is going on. And I want you to know that the angel said to the shepherds, do not be afraid. And the wise men show up in Jerusalem. It says they were all troubled. Indeed, Christmas is a troubling bit of news because it means the Messiah is here and no one even knew it or was ready for it or looking for it or preparing for it or alert to it. It caught them by surprise. I do not want me nor my church caught by surprise. No one should be more alert than a Seventh-day Adventist. Unfortunately, there are other good Christians in other denominations who the Spirit of God is leading their hearts while you and I are Laodicean. And you say, Pastor, what's the proof of that? Who showed up at Jerusalem saying, we came to worship the King? Who came? The wise men. So you got the despised shepherds that are stinky and smelly. And you got the wise men showing up, and whichever one, those heathen dogs. What are they doing here? Like they know something we don't? Don't they know we have the truth? I do not want, nor do I want my church to be caught by surprise. We need to avail ourselves to every opportunity to prepare for this great event so we can prepare others for it too. You know, I want to tell you, last week, Jem and Bernita and Bud, and now this week Bert, was the best gift you can give to Jesus at Christmas. Your heart. And we need to have a baptism every single Sabbath, if we can afford the water bill. Look at this. The priests and teachers knew not that the greatest event of the ages was about to take place. Check that out. In their strife for what? And they were not prepared for the revelation of the Messiah. The same indifference pervaded the land of Israel. Listen, hearts selfish and worldly engrossed were untouched by the joy that thrilled all of heaven. Only a few were longing to behold the unseen. To these heavenly embassies was sent. Heaven's embassy was sent. Who would like to be among only a few? Raise your hand. Who would like to be among only a few? My hand is up. I didn't mean you had to keep... I don't want to be like them. I lived my life prior to my conversion like that, folks. Seeking worldly honor and worldly riches and letting the world infiltrate me and stomp me in the ground. I was useless to humanity because I only cared about Peter Neary. And I'm reading this and I'm thinking, Lord, I'm no different than they were back then. And I'm thinking, You have given me a love for my people at my church as if You were my sons and daughters. And I don't want it to be You either. I want to be different. I want us to set the stage. Only a few. And isn't this beautiful, folks? Even though there was only a few, what happened? It went off just as planned as if everybody was participating. Because the shepherds were just as important to Jesus as the scribes and Pharisees. And the wise men were just as important to Jesus as the priests and the rulers. Because He is no respecter of persons, and neither should we be. And how do I know this is biblical? Let me tell you. What did the angel say? Glory to God in the highest. Friends, we need to seek on this earth to give God the glory. See? Not ourselves. That's what they were doing. And the angel said it. Glory to God in the highest. And by the way, the Lord's Prayer that often we recite, in certain situations we'll say, and now we'll all recite the Lord's Prayer. Have you ever noticed the beginning of the Lord's Prayer? The beginning of the Lord's Prayer is where the battle is really at, folks. Have you ever thought of that? Watch this. Watch this. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Your name, not mine. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Oops, I blew it. Hallowed be Your name, Your kingdom come, Your will be done. And guess what Peter Neary does? Tries to glorify His name, wants His kingdom to come, and would like Peter Neary's will to be done. So when you do the Lord's Prayer, you come into battle immediately with the issues at hand. Here's where we're at right now, folks. That's what was the matter back then. It says the angels were amazed at the indifference of God's people. Let's not amaze the angels in that way. Let's amaze them according to how the shepherds did. when they arrived. Now what I'd like to do, I'd like to suggest something for the new year. I'd like to suggest that in the beginning of January, all of us, and I know that will only include those who decide to do this. Let's read the Desire of Ages until we're done. And then the second half of the year, let's read The Great Controversy. And let's take those two incredible books in our private devotion, and when we're done with the one, we'll do the other. And we got to make sure that we understand the last days in light of Jesus and who He is and how loving and patient and kind and thoughtful, how sensitive, compassionate. And then He's going to bring people into this church that are out there in worse condition than freezing in the ice-cold weather, which they're not used to. In heaven, they're going, that is nothing comparing to being lost, comparing to being hopeless. I want to suggest that we overcome this worldliness that captured the Israelites back at the first coming, and us Laodiceans here overcome that by the beginning of the year. We read a chapter a day as best we can until we're done with the Desire of Ages. And then when we're done, we read The Great Controversy. And then we will see if we can be among the few. In fact, what am I saying? If we do that sincerely, then we will be rewarded. What does it say? Let's read it together. To those who are seeking for light. To those who are seeking for light and who accept it with gladness, the bright rays from the throne of God will shine. They'll shine, folks. In fact, they will shine when He comes in the clouds of glory upon us. And as others are scrambling in every direction to run and hide for fear because they're troubled, we will be standing there totally ignorant of their activities because our faces are trained upon the heavens where our King of Kings and Lord of Lords is returning. I believe that the book's Great Controversy, Desire of Ages and Great Controversy, were both written so that our faces could shine, and that shining will bring others to us that we can share it with them, because this isn't a private thing. And I don't want to be like the Israelites were when Jesus came the first time. Do you? Father in heaven, I thank You for the challenge of the hour, that You would use this time of Earth's history and this time of year, this Christmas season, to challenge us in a dramatic way, that You're desiring us to be different, that we would be among the few, and You would lead us to other few that we can bring them. And that when You come in the clouds of glory, there'll be somebody here who is looking for You that the angels can stop and sing to without going back defeated. Father, bless each person in this congregation. Would You please tell them You know their struggle, just like You know mine. And that You will not give up on us, don't give up on ourselves. And help us to pull together, Lord. Help us to support each other, so that Your Holy Spirit can be poured out in a more dramatic way. And the angels of heaven can celebrate instead of being amazed at the indifference of God's people. So bless us now, Lord. Bless our church. Bless every ministry, that it would find those precious souls for You. And then teach us how to give You the praise and the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright 2009. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.